Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And we're back. I'm Sal Chiangrasso here on NBRFM. And our next guest is from Sykesville, Maryland. It's Jan Makala. Jan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Jan is the owner at Strength Based Leadership. And what's your website there, Jan?
It's strengthbasedleadership.net. All one big long word, strengthbasedleadership.net.
And tell us about it. What is it that you do there?
What I do is I've discovered over the years of working with organizations from my past corporate experiences that when people work from their strengths, not only do they work better and enjoy what they do, we have a greater and more engaged workforce. And so I've worked, I'm Gallup certified in strength-based leadership and strength coaching. And so I help individuals and organizations find out what they do best, and we help them do more of it.
Typically, how does that work out as you get into a new situation? How do you determine from speaking with people where those strengths lie?
We do, there's several mechanisms into it, but the easy way to starting it is with a team, for example. I'm currently working with a group of 12. It's a ownership team of an organization, and every one of them has done their personal strength survey, which any of you can find on Gallup and cost about $20 to do. And we just pick their top five, or they show their top five, and we put them on a grid, and so everybody can see what everybody else does. And then everybody talks about this is what I do best and how I work best. And for the leaders, they can see how their teams, the people will tell you how they work best. And so that helps them customizing work groups and teams and so forth. And everybody says this is what I don't do well in some circumstances. So it's a different it's a way of doing it. Many organizations do it. Some, like the state of Rhode Island, now employs strength-based leadership for all the state employees. Other states have moved that way. Many organizations have adopted strength-based leadership for helping move their organizations to more engaged workforces. And when you have an engaged workforce, people want to come to work and do quality work for you. And they don't, your turnover goes down, your profits go up, your all the things that you do as a metrics, and I actually provide metrics for the organization to see as we start, here's what your current organization looks like, and on six different organizational metrics. And then we implement the program, and down the road, usually numerous months, maybe up to six, depending on the size of the organization, we do it again, and I promise that they'll see an improvement in those areas of where the organizations need to focus, culture, leadership, training, customer service, how they operate, those kinds of things.
Jan, let me ask you a question. Is a person's strength what they like to do the most, or could it be something that they're not crazy about doing, but that's the best thing that they can do?
It's what you have natural talent for, and you have natural talents to do. If I were sitting with you, and I'd say, you look at your top five strengths, and I'd say, what do you see in your top five? And you'd say, that's me, because it'll very specifically lay out things about you that are very unique about you. For example, when you do the strength survey, your top five, the chances of anybody else having your same top five as you do in the same order that you do is 1 in 32 million. So chances of anybody having the same top five that you do in any order is 1 in 237,000. So when I start with managers of teams, I say, first lesson for you, one size fits nobody. And you can't manage you the same way that you would manage one of your peers or colleagues. And so it helps managers start to learn how to treat you or work with you based on what you do best. And there's, it's not that you, if there's something that you're doing that you don't, if I were to say to you, you say to me, Jan, wow, this day just flew by. It's 5 o'clock. Where did this day go? You're probably working in your strength zone, something that's you enjoy doing that's easy for you to do. If you look at your watch at 2:30 and you say, is this day never going to end? You're working in an area probably not in your strength zone, something that you can do. You don't necessarily like doing it, not particularly good at it. And so one of the things that organizations spend time on is finding out what you do well in a team and then helping you do more of it. And it's how managers work with people. You might be, let's say, a very detailed-oriented person. You need time to make a decision. And if I saw in your top five, for example, that you need harmony as one of your top five, well, I know that you don't like, you know, you like harmony in a work group, but you need time to make sure that whatever you're doing, you've got to get it right. And whereas somebody who's more fast-paced doesn't necessarily mind making a mistake here or there, and they'll say, I got it wrong, and move on. Whereas to you, that is not something that is really optional for you.
Yeah, Jan, let me ask you a question. What inspired you to get into this? Did you determine your own strengths early on?
I was fortunate enough to spend some time at Gallup when they first developed strength-based leadership, and I was interviewed, asked to go to Gallup, and because I was found to be one of the top decile managers in America in the industry. And they have a book that they wrote called First Break All the Rules, of which I was interviewed for, along with 79,000 other managers. But I was in the book, and they said, the reason you're here is because you know how to work from your strengths. And from them, I learned, saw my own personal strengths, and then developed that to where I can, when I work with, I don't care about what I don't do well, and I don't care about what you don't do well. I work on, here's how I work, and here's how I approach things, and here's how I get results. And when I work with people like yourself, I would say to you, here's how you work best. You say, yeah, this is how I work best. And so then I help you work in that area of what you do best. Not that you can say, well, I don't like to balance my checkbook, so therefore I'm never going to do it. Because you might not find somebody else to balance your checkbook for you. And I don't like balancing checkbooks either. Yeah, and so it's not a strength of mine. I pass that off to my bride. And so, but she finds the penny in the bank, every month, that missing penny. Uh-huh. I could care less about the penny. And so we find, but if that's something that you have to do, it doesn't negate you having to do it. But we want you to focus where you spend most of your time and what you do well.
Jan, we're running a little short on time. If you could briefly tell me, there's a question that you ask about why do organizations exist? Can you synthesize that for us?
Sure. When I sit with organizations and I sit with CEOs or board of directors or municipalities, I've got one coming up next week, and the question is, why do you exist? And the owners of the business all say, well, to make money. And I say, that's the result. Tell me why you exist. And it becomes down, what's your purpose, your cause, your belief? Something bigger than you. And I can tell you that when you're trying to recruit and retain millennials, they want to work in organizations that exist for a purpose other than making money. They'll come to work for a profit company. That's not the issue. Why does that organization exist? And there are some companies that you see out there who have it clearly defined, Southwest Airlines being one, is an airline. I just happened to be reading about them this morning, so they're on top of mind. But they exist for two purposes, customers and employees. Hmm. And they make wonderful profit. They've never gone into bankruptcy. They're the only legacy airline that's never done it. So when I work with companies, I sit with you and your organization, and I help you define that. And if you were my customer, for example, I'd say go through your top five and pick one of your top five and highlight the words that resonate with you. And when I say that to you, then I come back and I say, those are the things that you value. Those are the things that are important to you. And then I help you craft that mission or vision of what it is that you want based on what you value.
Jan, I'm going to have to stop you now because unfortunately we're out of time. But I would like you to tell us about your website, social media presence, phone, email, where folks can reach you to find out more.
Sure. They can go to my website, strengthbasedleadership, all one word, .net. They can email me at jlmakela@gmail.com. And they can call me at 443-364-8341, and we'll customize whatever they need to have customized for their organization. And if I can't help you, I'll tell you, I'm not really the best person for that. But I'm reasonably sure that I can help most organizations. There's occasions I don't work with jerks. And if but other than that, I'm pretty well sure that I can help you out. We can cover that in 10 minutes or less.
Jan Makela, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to be back right after this.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
680 to 90-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.